You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Edition of All Marine Radio here on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you had a good weekend. Mine was a whirlwind. Yeah, a buddy of mine flew in. Got here Saturday morning at 8. We left at 8:01. Headed to Sacramento. Actually, we headed to Rockland, where we went to a party. My buddy Chris Bronzy is an awesome guy. Met him in Iraq at a place called Combat Outpost in the middle of Ramadi. actually, it's on the east side of Ramadi. But in the heart of darkness, man. The day I met Chris, I met his gunny, Winston Haugen. And Winston's a straight up baller, right? No doubt. So, we went up to see Chris's gunny and in Rockland. And as luck turns out, the family, Filipino family, is having a 50th birthday party for Winston's younger brother. So, we show up early for that. And the Filipino, like, culture, man, they can party. They can party. They like their tequila. Yee. And they can party. So that goes, like, late Saturday night. And the worst part is daylight saving time. So you lose an hour, too. And then had breakfast with them, and then got in the car and drove back. So, pretty fast weekend. And I will tell you this, though. California pretty green right now. Maybe as green as I've ever seen it as a state. From north to south, man, it is green. You know that, like, desktop on your microwave, on your Microsoft computer background, the green one? Yeah. That's what California looks like right now, up and down the state. So, but you know what? There is something magical about being in the presence of, you know, your guys you've been to war with. I don't know exactly what it is. There's something warm and good about that. And so, well, first of all, just being able to hang out with Chris in the car for about 6 hours each way. That was awesome. And then, I'm not supposed to say this, but he sang karaoke. Yeah, exactly. What? Exactly. Now, Winston, man, he's like all about the karaoke. Karaoke, I think that's a sickness. People don't get away from it. Oh, my God, it was hilarious. Honestly, I'd never been to a party like that where there was, like, karaoke set up and people just got up and sang. Oh, man, it was hilarious. It was hilarious. And they roasted the whole pig. Yeah, they didn't roast it. They bought it and brought that in. And then the guest of honor showed up. He showed up. The birthday boy turned 50, Winston's younger brother. And so it's amazing. You know, the Philippine culture is all over the military. Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of Filipinos that serve in the U.S. military. And so, you know, if you're in the military, especially in the Marine Corps and the Navy, I think, maybe more so, I'm not sure, because of the heavy Navy presence over the years in the Philippines. But you got to know the Filipino culture, man. And there's a lot of guys who were stationed there that married Filipino women. And let me tell you, they have a network. That's right. That's right. You'll hear guys say, yeah, do not go against the Philippine nation. And they don't mean the Philippine nation on the other side of the world either. They mean the Philippine nation that's resident in your local community. So, no, they have great food and they like to party. And so, yeah, I'd never been to a party where they have like karaoke set up. And there's people getting up there and getting their karaoke on. It was moderately amusing, to say the least. Moderately amusing. But he's got a great family and a big family, and they were having a good time, and it was awesome to be around that and to meet him again. So it's been going on 15 years since I saw him last in the heart of darkness. Yeah, we showed up that day. I was with General Kelly. And we showed up that day, and you never know if they know General Kelly was there. I don't know. Could they tell? Who knows? But we got there, and General Kelly's kind of walking around, checking stuff out. Now, at the time, he was Lieutenant Colonel Paul Kennedy, now Major General Paul Kennedy, who I knew when I was a captain. He's the first lieutenant at the basic school, right? So Paul and I have been great friends. So we're shooting the shit. How are things going? You know, what about this? What about that? And so General Kelly is walking with Chris Bronzy because it was his company, Firm Base. So we're kind of walking, you know, and he's kind of showing the general, like, around the perimeter. And all of a sudden we hear, actually we heard the dunk, 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 dunk of mortars, right, being fired. And when you're around it a lot, you can tell if it's aimed in your direction by the sound. Okay? And so you heard that dunk, and you, like, that's aimed this way. And then you heard it, and we started running. They were 120-millimeter mortars, which are big mortars, right? And we're running, and, like, the ground, like, jumps up at you from the concussion. I don't know how many of them hit, 6 maybe. And then they started shooting machine guns. And it was amazing. So you're running from mortars with your best friends, right? Hilarious. And Paul, while we're running, he's yelling, "Buddy, I think they're trying to kill Papa Jules." And then to watch the Marines. Marines were, you know, as soon as those mortars hit, man, they were moving to go find out who did it. And the QRF hops in their vehicles. Those guys are hilarious, right? Same guys sitting in the same spots, in the same vehicles, helping each other up. Guys lighting cigarettes, men with machine guns. And at that time, like the vehicles you see now, we didn't have those then. So this is in the early part of 2004, when Al Anbar just exploded. And honestly, Ramadi, Fallujah got a lot of attention, but I think Ramadi probably the more violent place. And Chris was Golf Company 2-4. So their guys, Golf Company Marines, are hopping in their vehicles and getting ready. But these were like fiberglass-bodied Humvees. There was no armor on them. If there was armor on them, it was shit that the units welded to it, right? And we called them Frankenstein vehicles because it looked like Frankenstein. All this shit bolted on or welded on or somehow or other wired on to protect Marines in the back of these things. And there was no teacup for the gunner. The gunner had like a machine gun thrown on top of the vehicle. And the kid who was gunning when we finished running and got into this, it was like a really big Quonset hut, right? But when I say really big, I mean maybe 50 feet tall. And it was hollow, right? And it's hardened. I don't know what it was made of, but it was a little bit harder. It wasn't certainly concrete, but it was made out of something, wood and I don't know. And then and the vehicles were parked inside this thing. You could drive through it. And so the vehicles were parked inside there, you know, to keep them out of the heat, the Marines out of the heat, because it's hotter than shit there. And so they're hopping in their vehicles. And the machine gunner's got the machine gun on the hood, on the roof of the passenger compartment, right? And he's got the bipod legs down, because there's no tripod up there. And he's putting on his black gloves, and he's got a cigarette in his mouth, and he's smoking a cigarette. He's putting on his black gloves, right? And he yells, "Let's go, boys. Somebody's going to pay today." And Marines, they're just funny. They're just funny, funny, funny. And, you know, they're hopping in the vehicle, yelling at each other, "Who farted? What the hell?" And then this one Marine's sitting on the back as we come running in and stop and look. And he's laughing. He's like, "What's up, sir?" Like, "Nothing, man." He goes, then he says something like, "You guys almost got whacked out there." And so he's sucking on this sucker. And as I'm, and I thought that the sucker that he's sucking on had this candy coated stick, right? And he's talking, and he's got a tooth missing. So the sucker stick is sticking out of the hole as he's talking. His sucker stick is sticking out of his teeth. And I look, and I'm like, and then I realized, like, that isn't some kind of candy coating. That's like dirt and nastiness on the stick. I was like, nice. And then they rolled out, right? And, you know, motivate. I mean, you watched him. He's like, "Man, I so want to be 20 years old right now and being a PFC or Lance Corporal or a Corporal rolling out with those dudes. Maybe a sergeant. You'd be in charge." And, I mean, because when they threw that in gear, I mean, they let a yell, and they all took off. And you're like, "That's the best, man. That's the best the country has to offer right there. American badasses." And so again, to be among those are Chris's guys and Winston's guys, and just awesome, awesome guys. So to be, and then, you know, what's very cool is, you know, Winston holds Chris in, I don't know what kind of status I would call it, right? I guess it would be in the status of somebody who you've shared incredible danger with on a daily basis for an extended period of time, who earns your respect every day and continues to earn your respect, by the way, that he cares today, to this date. So I don't know what to call that, what kind of elevated. Right. And, you know, and Chris has the same opinion of Winston, which is, so, you know, you're in this, I don't know how, this magical, right, very, very cool thing at a family event. So it was awesome. It was awesome. Let me tell you something else I did on Friday. I watched the entire Senate Armed Service Committee hearing that had to do with military housing. And if you have time, and it might take you a week to watch it, because it's 2.5 hours. Watch it. Watch the whole thing. I'm partway through the first hearing that happened on February 13th, and I'm kind of anxious to watch that. But let me read you some of the notes that I have from it. All right. Stand by. So Senator Imhoff is the chair of the Republican-controlled committee. He looked at all the service, so you have all the service chiefs, which are uniformed officers, right? And you have Admiral Richardson, you have General Neller, you have General Milley, and you have General, I can't remember the Air Force guy's name. And then you have the service secretaries, right? So Secretary of the Navy, Secretary of the Army, and Secretary of the Air Force. Secretary of the Navy has two people sitting next to him. All right. So Senator Imhoff opens and says, communication is broken, and that the DOD needs to get back in the business of housing. He then asks, why didn't you know this? Right? And something that I said, that the service chiefs all and the service secretaries all say they only found out the extent of this problem at the February 13th hearing. So some of the things. Senator Reid, who has major donors, who has a major donor, who's a major player in all of this, Senator Reid, the minority leader of the Senate Armed Service Committee, talked about things like around the, and here's what I don't understand, things that, and so we're going to do a little bit of housing. And it's starting today, right? So today you're going to meet a woman by the name of Lee Tuttle. And Lee is an Army spouse on All Marine Radio. First time ever we've done that. But and so we're going to kind of move the lens around the issue this week. Right? And so, and you're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about kids being made sick, right, for the rest of their lives by this shit. You're going to hear about, and in the hearing, you're hearing stories of families that complain, right, to this. So this was done in the 90s. The background is military housing was instituted in the 90s as a way, as a private market solution and an outsourcing of the maintenance, the administration of, because the Department of Defense was so abysmal at it. Okay, so if we privatize this thing, we'll bring in private companies. All right, so slowly but surely, the quality assurance people that work for the base, right, uniformed people that work for the base, as in active duty people that had oversight of this, those numbers get drawn down. So when you have an issue relative to housing, you go to, right, the private company's housing office. When you go look for help outside of that, in many cases you're told there is none. This is a DOD thing with the company. Now, it wasn't supposed to be that way, but that's the way it happened. So, and then what the company does is it's operating this contract, and its job, well, the way it's executed in most places is they are doing the bare minimum, right? The bare minimum in terms of repairs And I guess that's what these people were told to do. The people that are doing the repairs are not contractors. They might be a handyman. In fact, I think in the interview that you're going to hear with Lee Tuttle that we recorded on Friday, I think she tells a story that the guy pulls out, the guy who's repairing drywall, pulls out his phone and is watching a video on how to do it. So, I mean, it's not like these are bonded, licensed contractors in the county who are going to do repairs by some kind of local or federal housing standard. Code, as it's called in most cities and counties, to the building code. You have some yo-yo handyman dude who shows up, and when you complain there's mold in the ductwork, you know what the solution to that is? Shop back it out. All right, the mold's gone. No, it's not. So mold in the wall. Well, we'll bleach it and paint it. That doesn't get the mold out. So this is the kind of shit that these families have lived through when the repairs got made. And in the midst of that, there's children getting sick. There's emergency room visits. There's going and staying in hotels because everybody's sick. And you can't get help. Things I don't understand that I'll have explained to me this week is a uniform lease for everywhere you go, they would use the same lease. Like so when we talk about a lease, what is it? And then they're talking about you agree on a price for the lease. So I guess the question is, so if I'm as a, let's just say I'm a lieutenant in Southern California, because I'm familiar with the numbers, and I make $2,300, $2,400 a month for my housing. So if I go negotiate the lease on base, and it's $1,900, what happens to the other money? So I don't really understand the system well enough. Okay, and normally what happens is when something, you know, they just take my money, right? So they get my allowance. So, you know, McNamara, Michael, right, his BAH goes to, right, XYZ Military Housing Company. So they collect 100% of the rent, 100% on time, and then what they do is they try to, right, minimize the repairs they do in order to, I guess, maximize profits. I would say almost amateurs, right, doing these things. You have lead paint issues. You have air contamination issues. You have mold issues, bacteria issues, structural issues, water issues. And you have a bunch of goofballs administering this shit with no oversight from the base. So what you have and what you saw happen on TV was slowly but surely over more than a decade, this thing percolating. And honestly, to me, and here's one of the questions. People know that there's been people frustrated with this system for a long time. How could the people that run the installations in each service be so tone deaf that this thing explodes and everybody gets blindsided in February? If you've even been paying half attention and you just began to look at one instance, if you looked at one instance of this, talk to one family, you know what you would have found? If you'd have spoken to that wife, because what, the DOD's 90% male. Okay, so if you'd have spoken to one wife, you know what she would have told you? Right, as you kind of read through this letter, this horror story that this family's been through, say, well, do you know, look, I, you know, this has come to my attention now. As now that you're talking about a 3-star general that's the right deputy commandant for installations and logistics, blah, 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 and housing. All those housing contracts fall under him because the base CGs fall under him, blah, 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 and they negotiate them independently. He's the guy. So this letter bubbles up to him. If he says, hey, I intend to fix this, all right, I cannot believe that this happened. I want to talk to you, right? I'm going to be out there next week. I want to sit down with you. So you go and you sit down and you talk with his family. And as you talk, she's telling you, oh, and then I met this family and they're going through. And you're like, wait a minute. How many more families do you think? Oh, and at some point, if that came up, she would have looked at you and said, oh, my God. There's so many. Do you want a list? And the answer to that would have been, yeah. So nobody flipped a rock and began asking a question to set it straight? And then everybody gets blindsided? You know, I say this, but the Iraqis convinced me a long time ago that coincidences are for fools. And if you believe in coincidence, you're a fool. So, to me, who knew about this? And to me, get all these spouses that dealt with this shit. I want the names of the people that you sent this to. And I'm gonna send for them. And if they didn't do their duty, I'm going to run them right out of the military. Because this is wrong as wrong could be. So anyway, I have to make a correction. At the end of the interview, I say that I didn't see in the Bill of Rights that the tenants would have the right to withhold their BAH. It would go to a neutral escrow. They wouldn't get it. It would go to a neutral escrow account until the issue is resolved. Every one of the service chiefs said they were committed to that. Every one of the service secretaries said they were committed to that. So I make a factual error. Now, will that make the final cut? We'll see. Senator Wicker, at some point in the hearing, says, this has been a problem since 2008. He hasn't done enough research. It's been a problem since long before that. The issue of reprisals came up. And Senator Tom Cotton had every one of the service secretaries and every one of the service chiefs say, do the military people watching this have each one of your guarantees that anybody who in any way, shape, or form feels like they, you know, had this used against them, do they have your guarantee that that won't happen? And everybody said, absolutely. Absolutely. So we shall see about that, right? And he said, but it comes up. Why didn't you make a stink of this? I don't want to get in trouble. For what? Standing up for your family, for telling the truth? Yeah, exactly. I don't want to get in trouble for that. Some of these contracts, and you're going to hear Lee Tuttle talk about this, but 50-year contracts to do this. 50-year shooting fish in the barrel. Military builds this stuff. They give it to the management company. The management company is supposed to maintain it. And there, I read a story. You know, somebody got charged, $600, $700, I think at Camp Pendleton, when they went through and they looked at the carpet with a black light. So nothing appears to the naked eye, but they took a black light and then they charged him to replace the carpet. Who do I fight this with? What do I do? And the answer was they paid it. Senator Round said, "This everything I've heard is rife with negligence and fraud. That there is clear evidence of both, that the relationship between the DOD and these contract holders is clearly too cozy. Too cozy might be too mild of language to describe it. Senator Angus King was focused on the contracts between the company, the companies, and the DOD. Question, can we reopen the contract? Answer, we don't need. He said, you know, in business, I have a theory. He said, if you want to make somebody effective, right, on that's responsible, you have to have one throat to choke. Who is that person? Whose throat do we choke in this instance? And when you don't have one throat to choke, you have a problem because nobody's responsible. They talked about creating an app. And the significance of creating the app was that the tenant would be able to take a picture, attach it to a complaint, that thing would be filed. It would be reported to the housing office, to the DOD, right, and to the director of, like, installations and logistics. So there would be this way of tracking that the DOD could track this stuff in addition to the housing company, which would allow the DOD to begin to quantify and then intervene as necessary. He questioned the whole retaliation thing. And he wants to see the contracts. Have you seen these contracts to the service chiefs and the service secretary? No. Who negotiates these contracts? The base CGs. Who decides on whether the companies get their incentive? The base CGs. Senator Cotton, when he was talking, he first of all, he commended the Military Housing Advisory Network, and that which is a, you know, these things wind up being groups of spouses, right? And then he, as I said earlier, he talked about that there would be zero tolerance for any kind of retaliation. Senator Hawley, who's a junior senator, right? He was all over the whole contract thing. I want to see the contracts. Contracts have standards. Question, who enforces the standards? Is it the DOD or do we expect the housing company? And if it is the DOD, how in the hell did we get out of the business of enforcing it? How did the base commanders get out of the business? In my opinion, there's a whole series of base commanders that ought to be forced out of the military because of this shit. And as I said before, my fictitious example, if you got this email from this woman with this in there and you didn't pull the string and you didn't begin to fix this, you're pack your shit. You're done. You didn't do your job. Senator Peters, who's going to hold these companies accountable for the damages that they've done? So you have individual military families that have been damaged physically, and some of that damage in the form of asthma and brain damage will impact them financially for the rest of their life. Who's going to be accountable for that? Jody Ernst used to be in the Army. When will the Bill of Rights be in place? Question mark. She asked, in terms of the monies that are paid to these housing company, how much is the incentive? Answer, from the Secretary of the Air Force, who then resigned the following day. And I saw a very long Facebook post about the resignation of let me see if I can find it. A very long post about the relationship the Secretary of the Air Force with a housing company and a large owner of housing contracts who also happens to be a trustee at the University of Texas, El Paso, I think, where she's going to work, right? And this incestuous relationship out of the DOD. And if I can find it at some point, I'll read it. All right, I'm not going to look for it right now. Senator Elizabeth Warren. Now, it's kind of interesting, right? Republicans big on defense, but the Democrats were like all over this. Senator Warren. How big are these agreements? She said, the one I was told about was 600 pages. The contractor said that they don't make much money. Who makes up the rules? Who decides when they're enforced? Is it the DOD? So she asked that question as well. She asked, when did the military get out of the business of oversight of this? The Army issued a memorandum in 2013. An Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations and Logistics sent some kind of white letter or whatever out that said base commanders were not responsible for maintaining the contract and the conditions of the contract. Another one of the really, really gross issues, and this gets into fraud, is so the McNamara's move out and they get their black light out on us and they're inspecting our carpet. Okay. And then we get charged $700 for the carpet as we move out. Then do you think the carpet got changed? Answer, no, it didn't. So what does that mean? That means that we're charging people, and then we're expensing people. And so is some, like, housing maintenance person that's in charge of this, are they expected to keep that account in the black? And so I offset current charges and hiring handymen and repairs with carpet charges and other things. Is that how that works? And so the reason I wouldn't go replace the carpet is, you know what? We know it's not that screwed up. But, and I can use that $600 for these four repairs I had to make this week. So I stay in the black. I'm not going in the red. And my bonus is based on that. Is that how that works? Otherwise, why would somebody who says, hey, that carpet should be replaced, not replace it? Why would these repairs be done so shitty? Why would there be a guy watching a YouTube video on how to patch drywall? Why would some hillbilly with a shop vac come and suck the very, very surface of black mold out of your ventilation and then look at you and say, okay, there you go? Like, are you fucking kidding me? And again, if one general got one email and talked to one person, that person would have told them, no, 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 no. I've met other women since this happened to me. I've been introduced to other women who've introduced me to other women. There's dozens of us. What? But everybody got blindsided on February 13th. Interesting. Martha McSally, Senator from Arizona. housing offices on bases now, the housing office, are not advocates for uniformed personnel. They are adjuncts to the private company. So it's not like they're advocates that are picking up the phone and say, hey, meathead, what's going on with this? Right? And look, we already have sacrificed this month's bonus. We're working on next month's bonuses now, right? So this shit better get replaced, and it better get replaced today. You got it? So she made that point that the people on base, they don't work for the uniform person. They work for the housing company. And then she asked the question again. Who is going to make these families whole relative to their out-of-pocket expenses for both housing and medical? And if your health has been damaged forever, who pays for that? And again, here's what is so shitty about this. You know what the DOD's record is in terms of in making people whole? Or being responsible for the physical damage they cause to dependents and military members? It's shit. They turn their back on it. They walk away from it. This came up. So what is the priority of work? All right. And this is from the Secretary of the Army, who I would tell you in the whole hearing, in my opinion, comes off the best. That's his name. I don't know if his name's Espler or whatever. I don't know, who cares what his name is. Anyway, so when asked, what's the priority of work? One, get them to safe housing. So if they are not comfortable in their housing, get them to safe housing. Two, provide some kind of quality assurance on service requests, right? So my drywall is leaking, my hot water heater doesn't work, my heater doesn't work, all this kind of bullshit, right? What's going on, right? Some kind of oversight from active duty military personnel over the system that corrects that. A bill of rights that absolutely includes the ability to not pay your rent. Okay? Yeah, and you'll hear Lee talk about that. And the base commander approves the incentive. And he's more involved. Senator Blumenthal, right? Former Marine. A Democrat gets a lot of grief because he kind of insinuated that he was in Vietnam, but really never set foot in the country. Anyway, that guy. He said there ought to be prosecutions for fraud and for criminality relative to this. He said based on what I've seen. And then in the opening remarks of Senator Imhoff, he said, look. My fear, based on everything we see, is that this is worse than what we're seeing today. So that's our collective fear, based on what we've seen. He says he wants to see criminal prosecution. He said this thing is a cash cow. And he wants charges and evidence turned over to Department of Justice. And that he will formalize that request. And then he talked about the health impact for the rest of their lives on these people, and that legislation needed to be crafted so that these people could have benefits for the rest of their lives. Because these issues that have been created by this negligence are certainly compensable, meaning deserving of compensation. Senator Tillis. the service chiefs needed to report back to the Senate Armed Service Committee after 100% of the housing had been inspected with figures that say what is what. How much of a problem is this? Because the housing guy said, well, you're talking about 1%. You know, 1%, that's pretty good. Then the issue that almost is mind-blowing came up, and that is non-disclosure agreements. Yeah, what? Non-disclosure agreements signed by junior enlisted people, or by anybody, saying that you can't talk about what went on between us in exchange for, you know, $400 of credit that would go to repairs of anything you damage. And they're holding these things up. Like, are you kidding me? So question, are you aware of this? Answer, no. Every one of these things should be rescinded immediately. And he dropped it. And then he made the comment that, look, obviously, you know, your focus has not been on this, right? You need to get on this right now, like yesterday right now. Senator, I think her name is May Hirano from Hawaii. She asked, so none of you have ever heard about this non-disclosure agreement. The Army said we have. Everybody else said no. Then she asked, how would rent be withheld? Because you're not allowed just to write a check for your rent like other adults, like everybody who lives out off base does, right? If you live on base, they deduct it from your pay. Pretty slick little rent collecting arrangement, right? So you'll hear Lee Tuttle talk about that. And then the explanation was, well, it'll be directed to an escrow account. And it won't be released. So it's never going to be not paid, right? It's just going to be delayed. Okay? I'm not sure that's much of a consequence. And then Senator Sheehan said, on the last note, is that, look, there needs to be a long-term sustained effort on the part of all the services to fix this. There's going to be certain things that can be fixed in the short term, other things not so much. The Bill of Rights, and so, and I thought this was a pretty important point. The Bill of Rights has to have teeth, otherwise it's just bullshit, right? So the Bill of Rights has to be inserted into these contracts. The consequences of the Bill of Rights have to be inserted in the contracts. That's going to take time. Deciding whether these housing units ought to be subject to local housing codes, which, in my opinion, would almost infinitely... So then what that would require? Local contractors to work on it to make sure, and not just Larry the retired handyman that's looking for some extra money that's going to go to work for cheap for the base. Why does that work? Well, he works for cheap. He's always available. And we don't have to pay contracting rates. Wow. We're all winning on that, right? Except the tenant. Because it doesn't get done right, because he's watching a video on how to do it. So, anyway. So, you're going to probably hear a fair amount of this. And what I'm interested in is, you know, as you hear from Lee Tuttle, is how do these things get fixed? Now, if you watch the hearing, there's no doubt in your mind that the service secretaries and the service chiefs, They got the memo. They got the memo. But again, so let's, in terms of fixing, when will 100% of the housing inventory be inspected? When will 100% of the people that are having issues be in some other form of housing, be it in a hotel that's being paid for by the military? or being in other housing. And I will tell you what, I mean, I got, since I've done this, I've got messages from people at Camp Lejeune, right, that was affected by that hurricane, that said, we are living a nightmare here relative to housing. Now, right, hurricane damage, a little bit different than everything else, but how many months has passed? What's the issue? The only, in my opinion, the only acceptable issue is we can't get contractors here, you know, in enough to do all the different repairs, right? We have repairs going on in the base, right? Those are big contracts. That sucks contractors to that. We have other contracts that are doing housing, but we have 5,000 units that need to be repaired, and they're on a waiting list, but we can't get them enough contractors here to do the work on these houses because there's so many other more lucrative, you know, contracts being let. I just sneezed. So, okay, then they shouldn't be in that house, right? They should be in Hilton Garden Inn. They should be someplace, right? So anyway, so you're going to hear about this. But honestly, stunning, stunning. So there's two hearings. One on February 13th, and that was the initial one, and that included spouses. One of the things that's also struck me about this was something one of the wives said, and that was, you know, my children have only known their father coming and going from war because my children are under the age of 17. And so since they've been born, they've only known the nation at war. They've never known what it's like, you know, to live in a family that doesn't go to war, which is pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So good morning to you here on a Monday morning. Thanks for listening. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Few minutes, you're going to meet Lee Tuttle, and it's dedicated to all the families that are going through what the Tuttle family has been through, and I think the thought that all of us have an interest in making sure that that this gets done right, and the way the DOD does this shit is they drag it out forever and they screw people over. Right. Let me read you this real quick. Heather Wilson, Secretary of the Air Force, resigned yesterday, one day after the Senate Armed Service Committee hearing focused on housing, to become the president of the University of Texas, El Paso. El Paso, where the Hunt family owns the city. I mean, they're big time players all the way to Austin, really. Baseball teams, they have their names plastered on the hospital and the universities, the whole nine yards. They're the ones that own the Hunt companies that operate and manage housing on many military installations, mostly Air Force. Here's another link to another story. Well, interestingly enough, Guess who was the vice president on the Board of Regents in Texas, where Heather Wilson was recently named president of University of Texas El Paso? Yeah, Woody Hunt. Guess who donates to the university? Woody Hunt. Guess who is the chairman of the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board Strategic Planning Committee? Ding, ding, Woody Hunt. Guess who is on the Texas Board at both the University of Texas El Paso and Texas Tech University Health Science Center in El Paso, where Secretary Wilson took her position? Ding, ding, Woody Hunt. During the hearing on Thursday, one day before her resignation letter was sent, Secretary Wilson stated, quote, "Well, there have been problems with some of our private contractors. I think overall housing is in better shape than it was at the time this initiative started," which begs the question, which private contractor are you not having problems with when you refer to some, question mark? Hunt, Belfour Betty, Corvus, Michaels, because I'm not sure which one isn't having problems. Or is it Hunt that you think is doing okay? You can't say anything about Woody Hunt, the man that donates crazy money to the school that you're currently in negotiations with to become president, right? Not to be a conspiracy theorist, but does someone else think this looks a little fishy? Also, do they not understand that everyone knows how to use Google? I mean, it is Hunt we're talking about. Or maybe not. Keep spraying that bleach on mold, people. There's another story out of Politico. Records show how Air Force nominees skirted lobbying restrictions. Former U.S. Representative Heather Wilson laughs at her campaign staffer, Evan Dixon, inside her campaign headquarters in 2012 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Wilson, who left Congress in 2009 and went to work the same month for the Lockheed subsidiary Sandia, says she didn't lobby herself. Interesting. This is written 2 years ago. For several years, the company capitalized on her contacts and inside knowledge of craft an elaborate influence strategy meant to help Sandia Corporation win a non-competitive contract for continued nuclear weapons work, essentially avoiding a common government practice meant to increase efficiency and keep costs down. For example, in 2009, an email to David L. Goldheim, Lockheed Martin's Director of Corporate Development at Sandia, about what to tell top federal officials, Wilson advised that, quote, "Your message to these people is that competition is not in the best interest of the government," and asked them to call, name redacted, today and tell him that a recompete at Sandia is not needed, according to a cop. So, interesting. Heather Wilson in the crosshairs of more than a few people. All right, so this is dedicated to all those people and also to the rest of us who have a responsibility to kind of pay attention to this and make sure people know that you can't make people sick, impact the rest of their lives, walk away from it. That's bullshit. So we all need to pay attention, right? And I know we say, well, you need to, like, write your congressman or make a phone call. But seriously, this is bullshit.
Our flag comes first. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran, but, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather. Currently on the east coast of the country, clouds in 56 in the Quantico area, where I'll be in a week. Yeah, gonna do a little post-traumatic winning. Fired up to do it too. Sunny in 65 down in Camp Lejeune. Clouds in 55 in Granbury, Texas. Clouds at 43 and 29 Palms. Clouds at 46 at Pendleton. Dark, cloudy, and 62 in Okinawa. So Okinawa gets warmer. In the Al-Anbar province, in the city of Ramadi, in the Helmand Anbar province, it is 66 degrees. Not too far from there, the last holdouts of ISIS are surrounded, and the attack has begun to clear them out. I think the city is Bugaz, just across the Syrian border on the north or the east side of the river, depending on which way you're looking at the map. So, getting warmer in Al-Anbar. In Afghanistan, in the city of Marj, it's dark, clear, and 53 degrees. In the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is cloudy and 49. Looking for rain tonight with a high of 64 degrees. 68 tomorrow, almost going to get to 70. Damn. and then 67 on Wednesday, both days with cloudy sky. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, you're going to hear from Lee Tuttle. She is the wife of a United States Army Green Beret, and she has lived through these housing, I don't want to call them wars, but this housing nightmare that families have, moving to base housing, serving their country, trying to take care of kids, and support their husbands, or wives, however it is. And then all of a sudden this thing comes into your life. And you have to come to grips with the fact that I'm living someplace that has made my kids sick, and we will live through the consequences, live with the consequences for the rest of our lives. So that's the reality that they're living with. So don't touch that dial. You need to listen to this. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.